Hi, I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
And I'm Dr. Jose Lugo Santiago. Welcome to Leaders and Futures. Let us have a new kind of conversation, one about leading as futures emerge, are yet to happen, or plainly need to be reimagined.
Someone has said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. Although it's impossible to predict the future, one thing is certain, you must lead in it. It's time to think differently about leading.
This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Let's get started with today's discussion on leaders and futures. Well, for those of you that are joining us and missed last week, we kind of started getting into this argument because I'm playing the devil's advocate and
argument.
Lugo is playing the arguer. So, hola again, Lugo. Good to see you again this week. I hope you had
Chief.
A good week, and it still snowed all week, and the snow is still out there in my driveway. And you and Adrian,
did you find somebody to help you out?
No, I'm hoping you will.
This is a shovel.
Yes. Anyway, our discussion that was almost turning into an argument had to do with the question of why should I even think about the future in this organization that you, boss, expect me to do? You know, you're expecting me to be a follower. I don't even care to be a follower. I just come in, do my job, and I'm out of here. So, what are you going to do, boss? Wait a minute. I guess we can incentivize. I think that's the term that businesses use. So give me more money.
More money.
Yeah, that'll take care of it. That'll fix it.
No, it doesn't. Plenty of studies that has said that. Plenty of studies. People, you know, it's just like...
Wait. But who wrote those studies? Was it the leaders or was it the followers? You know, if the leaders wrote it, then it's biased.
Oh, biased.
Yes.
Why is it biased?
Because the leaders wrote it. You didn't even ask me. I'm the follower. I don't know. You've never been a GS employee, right? A government.
No.
I don't know what GS stands for. A government employee. But I did it for about 20 years. And for about 16 years, it was pretty good because we had this assistant director, deputy director, who would come around every year when we talked about bonuses, because we were offered bonuses every year. And he was smart enough, wise enough to come ask, what would you like? Money, time, a combination, because those are the basic two things that you got. You got more, you know, a free time, a week's extra, a few days, whatever, or money. And again, he was good enough to come ask people, the followers, the employees, what would you prefer? Well, things happened and I moved on to another shop and those people never asked. A couple of times I got more time. Okay, fine. A couple of times I got more money, and especially at the last, before I retired again, I got more money. And I was hoping that someone would even ask me because I didn't want more money. I had plenty of money. I needed more time.
But so you value time.
I valued, exactly. It's about values. I valued time more than I did money, but I got money, which I thought, well, okay, whatever. But, you know, my thinking about that person who, my supervisor, was not as respectful as it could have been if he had asked me, which one would you prefer, Chief? Was it more time or more money? And my point, Lugo, is that we don't ask. We think we know because we've been there. Remember, you said that. In fact, I think I've seen you with that T-shirt that says, been there, done that. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You don't know what I value. Although I may say stuff and you may think you're smart enough to pick up on that, but not so much. Again, if you wrote, it's like history, Lugo. The winner of a war is going to write the history book, and when we're going to know that or think that that's the way it was, when it may or may not have happened. So here I'm back to the question. Boss, I don't really care. I'm not buying into this. I'm not following you. I don't care about the future, other than if it, you know, if the company falls apart, then I'm going to go find some other place to work.
So several approaches there, right? If I'm running an organization, in some places you can just say, just like Jim Collins, right? Why wasting my time trying to motivate people, right? So just, you're not in the bus.
We're already motivated. I'm already motivated.
Goodbye. You know, we don't. Yeah. I mean, why? So that was the good to great, right? That was their argument. You know, what is leaders that continuously spend their time trying to motivate people, then it's a waste. But the truth is, people are motivated. The truth is also that every single one of us don't like to be treated like we are expendable. And so this notion of trying to treat people like, okay, well, if you're not here, okay, goodbye. We may be missing out. Everybody has tremendous amounts of talents, and that person, because it may be different or may think differently, then it's not easily dismissible. We should not easily dismiss this person, but we should be curious. At least we should be curious about as to why. Is it that you don't care about the future of the organization? Obviously, if you don't care about the future of the organization, you don't need to be here. I mean, truly, why? Well, the reason is simple. If the organization does not exist, the person does not get to pay mortgages, pay the car, put food on the table, stuff. You know,
we're in a place as a society, as a culture of the United States, where there are plenty of jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, there are plenty of companies looking for people, even to do the most, what we would might consider menial jobs, because somebody has to do it, and it's not the boss is going to do it. So there are plenty of jobs, Lugo, that I can go find. Exactly what I'm doing, just go pay me for doing this. Don't try to get me into the fold, if you will. Just pay me my money. I'll do what you told me. We're done. Well, and is that okay? Is that not okay?
And that may be okay for that person. Obviously, the person. Well, what about the leader though? Okay for him
for the
her.
Company. I need people to clean the toilets. That's what I need. And I'm going to pay Vasquez $50 a day to do that. As long as he does that, I'll pay him. He'll be happy, and I'll be happy. That's it.
Okay, so then that's good. You have said that. You have said that that is good. So if that is okay with you, what are you looking for? Why are you looking for anything else?
I'm not. I'm out of here. But you, boss, are trying to keep me because, somehow there's expense. I guess it depends on how much and depends on the job, but there is an expense in hiring someone new and training them. If not necessarily money, but time, because you can say, okay, go clean the toilets, but I'm going to clean them the way I think they should be cleaned, not necessarily the way you want them to be cleaned. So you somehow have to invest time and money, or time, which is money, to teach me how you want them done.
So when you're talking about all those things, I cannot think about the kind of organization that you're putting a person into. Now I can understand why the person does not care. If you do not even have procedures, quality standards, a culture state, even culture statements, mission visions, and then I do totally understand why the person does not want to be there and the person wants to do what he or she comes and says that he or she's going to do. Because I would think that right now, if you are a leader that cared, let me pause in there for a second. I have seen organizations, and we have worked with organizations that they have great people, or they don't have a good, they have a bad environment and they hire great people. And those people go into that environment and they end up being just like the same as the other people who were there. I mean, everybody get disgruntled. We also seen places where great environment, you get a person that is an average performer, and all of a sudden that person, those people become a superstars, all of them. Teams become, super teams. How does that happen? Well, there is an environment. It's just like a flower, right? It's like a plant. You put them in good ground. And when that, and anything you put in that ground is going to grow strong. And so what is that part of that ground for you as you're thinking about the future of the organization and the futures? You got to always understand that things can happen. You can have continued growth, that we call four generic futures, right? Continued growth. But we can have a place where all of a sudden we're doing great and the system collapse. We can have a place where we constantly trying to balance, demands, and we get better in other places where there's a complete transformation of the old system and goes into a new system. But As a leader, you think about all of those things. And the best way that I can think about the kind of preferred future among all the options that I could have, the preferred future that I have is if I build the foundation. And so what in that foundation, what I want is obviously a team dynamics. Team dynamics are number one reason why projects don't work in an organization. We know they have surveyed that second and scope creep. So that means team dynamics, scope, in this case, I will say it has to do with understanding what are the responsibility, what are the expectations for every single one of the members of the team in regards to their lines or lanes of effort. And then what is that they are there to do? So that requires communication, requires that you cultivate, it requires the vision, right? Something that we share together. We say we're going to be there, or that as I may not buy in completely as a follower into the future, this future the organization sees, but I see parts of this future where are beneficial to me. And because of that, I agree to serve in that organization. The question was, why should I care about this organization? Because I see myself, I see parts of me in these futures that emerge while I'm in this organization. Because I do this, I can do other things. When people don't see themselves in the organization, again, like we just, I think last week talked about, then there is a separation between the leader, the organization, and the person. And no one can work in a situation like that. Then we start seeing all of these other things. We start focusing on the little things and things, you know, employees start arguing about stuff that doesn't really make any sense. Maybe it makes sense to them, but for the organization as a whole, it doesn't contribute. It doesn't create value to the organization and to the purpose that the organization was set to fulfill. And that's what happens. And obviously, we get to that point that you're talking about, disgruntled employees, I don't want to be there, and so on.
So
that requires a lot of time.
Well, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. So effort. Let me come out of my devil's advocate role and come back to what I think you and I would agree. It requires relationship. To get to those things that you're just talking about, to get to the point where I, as the follower, the employee, agree, because you know, the minimum agreement is a contract, right?
I would say relationship is just one area,
but that's a big area.
Yeah. If we don't have that, it's critical.
When
we talk about 20% of the activities produce 80% of the result,
right?
Relationship is one of the 20. It's one of the critical 20.
The vital few. Critical. Yeah, but it is critical because with relationship, Luke, if you don't have a relationship, you don't have trust. You know, I don't think you can have either of them. Well, I guess maybe you could have a relationship where you don't trust your boss, and that's not a very good thing. You're not going to get very far. We'll be back to square one, which where we were starting this argument. But if you, as a leader, and I don't know that you want to focus so much. You want to develop a relationship, at least a professional relationship. And I think, at least in my perspective, the people that I followed, it was more back to high touch. And those mm-hmm. relationships are, you know, how you start developing that relationship is often so minimal. Like, you know, and I think, and we didn't work together. I don't remember ever working together. We worked together apart. You know, we weren't in the same shop. But I think it begins with acknowledging a person's presence. And I've been in shops, probably you have, where the person who was considered the leader, who was supposed to be the leader, didn't even say hello. They'd come into the shop and you know, they were there, I guess. And I say really, I mean, literally, I guess. I didn't know that they were there because they didn't take the time to say, "Hey, Chief, how are you?" Which means, going back to the original argument, I don't care. You know, if I, as the boss, as the leader, don't care about how my people are doing, then those people, the employees, are seen as devalued employees, people have who have no significance in this organization. And you know, if you treat me that way, that's the way I'm going to respond. You don't care? I don't care.
So that so basically you're asking, and we see this a lot. Everybody's different. Not every leader will be, because sometimes that's confusing too. It's confusing to think that a leader that may be a little more introverted, a little more thinker, may not communicate as well as an extroverted person who, tend to express himself or herself better. And we may think that this person does not care because the leader is not asking me, hey, how you doing? Because this leader is very task oriented. Does that mean this person is a bad leader? I don't think so. I think that they gotta, of course, we always talk about balance, and this thing about balance, this requires like 3 or 4 podcast episodes because this thing about balance, we think about the scales of, you see, the scales of justice, and it's just not going to happen.
Nope.
There are times that I need to be task oriented. There are times that I need to, and so I am not going to be, hey, how you doing? Hey, how's everybody doing? Great. Yeah. Hey, I think we have an incoming this way. Go ahead and put your Kim mask. Okay. Kim mask. Okay. It's too tight for you. Okay. I think it's about 20. 10 minutes to impact. Anyways,
well, and you know, saying, and you see, what you're describing though is coddling, you know, and I coddling. You're right. I don't think we should be coddling anyone, but we can be respectful and respect enough to say, and you know, it's like, especially the younger folks, I think you young people. How are you doing as a greeting? Well, no, that's a question if you're going to ask it. And I think as a leader, if you ask that question, you should wait for the answer or don't ask it. Now, back to the way I was brought up, the way your dad was brought up, you can ask him, call him up when we're done and ask him, and he'll validate. At least say good morning. Buenos dias. Now, that, at least the way it began, was a greeting, and I'm wishing you a good morning. I'm not asking you, are you having a good morning? I'm wishing you a good morning. And I think at least that's a beginning. And again, acknowledging that the people exist, Lugo, going to a, you know, if you have offices, cubbies, you know, cubicles, go as a leader to go by and say good morning to everyone, says that person cares. Now, maybe not a lot, but more than not even going to see them, because I don't know that they, I have 5 people that work for me. How do I know that they're in the shop, assuming that that's what they're supposed to do? You know, nowadays you can work from home, but even that, how do you know that that person is okay? How do you know that they're not okay? You know, I don't know how you are with your family, but with my girls, if I don't hear from them first thing in the morning, I start going ballistic. There's something wrong. And you know, I'm a pretty positive guy, so I'm positive that something's wrong because I haven't heard from them. Text me, and that's what I tell them every morning, because we're pretty good about this. I text them to say good morning, and they text me back and say good morning. Okay, I feel better already because they were in a good space to be able to respond. So that's good. But so as a boss, Lugo, I think that's important. It's critical. You said it's critical that I know where my people are, and I know that they're okay, at least to some degree.
I think, as a boss, right, as a leader, however we want to call it, the most critical thing is that you intrinsically believe that people have value. And if you believe that, then everything else happens. Because I think what has been going on with a lot of literature in leadership and what people want to do, the know-how, is that we try to do all these tools and we want to do this and that, you know, the method, and we have focused more on methods and stuff like that and trying to be efficient. So imagine this thing that you're talking about, this professional courtesy, comes from a heart that says, you know what? Hey, Chief, I value. Chief, how you doing? Good morning. So I didn't have to, oh, wait a minute. I just, in my checklist, did I say good morning today? Good morning. You know, oh, did I ask him for the family? How's the son? No, those things you should have, right? But if I truly, as a leader, and you should, if I intrinsically believe people have value in my team, and as I meet a person, because this person has certain characteristics, then all these other things will happen. And that will make me an authentic leader.
I like that. And that has, in the term that I'm going to use is, and you, yeah, and it's the same thing because I use this term a lot, is valuing. Valuing is critical to developing relationships in the workplace. And that's why I should follow.
Authenticity.
Oh, now you're getting fancy. Okay. Let's use just real regular vernacular. Let's do that next week.
Let's do it.
Have a great week, Lugo.
All right, you too, Chief. Thank you for listening. We hope today's topic connected with you and helped you reflect on the work leaders do to get out of a narrow focus on one future and into a broader range of plausible alternatives.
If you'd like to connect with us, find us at leadersandfutures.com.
And if you would like to learn more about leadership and future studies, we have several programs to help you at the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Until next time, be great.